This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and it's me, your host, Richard McCall. What's coming up on Columbia Calling this week? We're talking to an author from Northern Ireland, Caroline Doherty de Novoa. Her novel, highly rated, called Dancing with Statues, is set against the backdrop of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And, of course, she now lives here in Bogota, and so she's taking this experience from her homeland and applying it to Colombia. So it's incredibly important at this time when we have the peace talks going on between the FARC guerrillas and the Colombian government. We have people like Caroline who understand these processes to describe to us a little of what we should expect and, of course, put it all into a literary context. We'll also be talking all things Colombia and about her new venture, EmbraceBogota.com. And now this is for the discerning lady about Bogota town. So as always, we're talking to people making it happen, doing things, participating and helping create a society here in Colombia. This is Columbia Calling. Look for us at ColumbiaCallingRadio.com. I'm Richard McCall. Tune into the show coming up.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. We're here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closest to the stars. This will be one of my last podcasts, interviews, shows here in Bogota before the end of the year. Because towards the end of the month, I'll be heading off to Mompox to run my little hotel, La Casa Amarilla, in the sultry, sweaty, cinnamon-smelling Caribbean on the Colombian coast. But we're not so close to the coast. We're 5 hours inland, but since the coast is a state of mind, it's still referred to as the coast. I'll be running things up there. This week, on an incredibly literary show, and of course showing star quality, we have Caroline Doherty de Novoa. Now, those of you who know anything about surnames will know that's a mix of an Irish surname with a Colombian surname. Well, Caroline is from Northern Ireland, and she's an author, and she's now resident here in Bogota. She lives here. Obviously, came over with her husband, Juan. And yes, Caroline is a published author. Her novel, Dancing with Statues, relates a sort of a love story set against the backdrop of a peace accord and the violence, the troubles in Northern Ireland. So Caroline comes on this show with a vast wealth of experience and a privileged, privileged situation, position from which she can talk about peace accords and dialogues which took place in her homeland and, of course, apply them to Colombia. So, she's got some things to say. It'll be a great pleasure to talk to Caroline. And also, as always, the people who are here in Bogota or in Colombia are doing many things, not just one thing, one or the other. Caroline, I believe, is working on another novel, but At the same time, she started a website, which you should all check out, in particular, people coming to Bogota who like dining out or like looking for interesting things. It's called embracebogota.com. And it's kind of like it's for the discerning lady about Bogota town, but it's in English and in Spanish. So therefore, it's, you know, it's not limiting its readership only to expats or visitors. It's also for the Colombian public, too, in Spanish. So like always, this is a shout out and a celebration of those people and to those people who are doing things over here, you know, making it happen and helping Colombia move forward. Colombia is moving forward. Colombia is getting better. We are all aware of this, but you know, this is a show. You know, we're trying to push the envelope. We're trying to say, listen, this is Colombia is a place that you can live. You can make a life of it. I get so tired of people coming over and staying for a while and say, well, yeah, I just didn't know what to do. There was nothing for me to do. The other day, I came across some sort of luxury honey products, which are being created by a German somewhere off in Santander, I think. You know, he obviously came over, saw an option and saw an opportunity and created this line of wonderful sort of high quality honey. So therefore, I mean, there's always something to do. I mean, perhaps it's not, you know, I wouldn't want to make honey, but you know, I have a little hotel and I work as a journalist and I guide and whatever, a translator, whatever's needed, I'll do. At the moment I'm studying, but next week I finish. So my conflict resolution master's here in Bogota. So hopefully that will lead me down different avenues and more interesting contacts and so on and so forth. So anyway, yeah, Colombia is a place where there is everything yet to do. I mean, and if it isn't done, you can come in and, you know, set up your own company and live a lifestyle that you've been yearning for. So this is also a shout out for other people who are thinking of coming to Colombia or wishing to come and live here or just to travel or what have you. This show is open to you all. And if you're a new listener, welcome. Thank you very much for tuning in or downloading the podcast. And if you're an old listener or you're a frequent listener, thank you for coming back and, you know, showing faith in the show and enjoying yourself. And I hope it's we continue to be as informative and energetic as possible and look for interesting people with whom we can speak and discuss the situation in this wonderful country full of nuances. But, you know, we've made a decision to live here. And that decision is that we shall make our lives here in Colombia. As expats, we are guests in Colombia, but at the same time, you know, we participate and we're helping Colombia move forward. And that's the idea. So if there's anyone out there that you know who you think might be an able interviewee to come in talking, someone who's working for an NGO or running a small project or a business or thinking of coming out, or anyone in the Colombian diaspora overseas who's thinking about coming back, you know, this show is aimed at all of you. As you'll know, in previous shows, we've had real estate experts, other literary folk. We've had, you know, we've been talking about cultural conflicts, where to travel. You know, this is a country which has it all. So we're trying to make it as energetic and creative as possible to keep you involved. So, yes, I've been getting emails from people connecting with me through LinkedIn and Facebook and what have you. We now have a website. That's ColombiaCallingRadio.com. So you can always get in touch through that. There's an email address on there. And Twitter handle, at ColombiaCalling. You can download us on iTunes and so on and so forth. And my blog, richardmccall.com, is always there for you to read, basically follow up blogs or articles about what I do here on the show or about things that are going on in Colombia. It's nice to be contacted. It is nice to know there are people interested out there. Here in Colombia at the moment, well, you know, it's all the talks about the peace talks and the peace dialogues going on. And we seem to think that they've gone past the point of no return. Something is going to be signed in Cuba between the FARC guerrillas. I hasten to add, you know, it's something I say all the time. This will not generate peace. It is part of the framework to create a peaceful society, but it does not generate fully peace. So it's not something that we peg everything to, because if the right framework is not in place, if there isn't a plan for transitional justice, if the people do not receive some sort of, you know, sort of reconciliation, If there's not an understanding about what is going on in Cuba, it will not generate a situation of calm and a situation of trust between former warring factions. So this is the big chat at the moment, and there's a great deal of disinformation taking place. For those people who see the BBC, you'll have seen a big a documentary about the child soldiers recruited by the guerrillas. Now, that's another nail in the coffin, perhaps, to the guerrilla groups, because that's just terrible propaganda for them. I mean, and of course, they have been doing some very heinous, very atrocious actions in the jungles over the last 50 years. Let's not forget there was another side as well, but moving on from that, onto some more lighter topics before we go into an interview with Caroline. What else? Well, Colombia beat Belgium away from home 2-0. Falcao and some other fellows scored goals. This is the football team that's going to the World Cup next year in Brazil to beat Belgium. Belgium are a good side. I mean, let's not joke about this. Belgium are a good side. They've got some great players. A lot of them play in the Premiership in the United in England. And it's no joking aside, to go over to Europe, play away from home in a very hostile environment and win 2-0 is nothing short of amazing for this Colombia side. So, unfortunately, probably it means we're all going to jump on the bandwagon and believe that the Colombia are once again dark horses for the World Cup. But what I hope is a really decent win, what a really decent run in the World Cup. But so that was very exciting. Yes, I'm going to leave you now for a minute, and we'll come back and we'll be talking to Caroline Doherty de Novoa about her novel Dancing with Statues and Embrace Bogota and her other projects here in Colombia with her husband Juan. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. I'm Richard McCall. I'll be right back.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling, and I'm here in Bogota with Caroline Doherty de Novoa. She is from Northern Ireland. She's an author. She lives here in Bogota. And we're going to talk about, basically her life here in Bogota. What brought her
so far from home. I know that, in fact, in my research, I know that she's a well-traveled individual. But we're going to talk and find out why, you know, why Caroline is now an expat here in Bogota. So, Caroline, welcome on the show. Welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thanks, Richard.
You're very welcome. There, you can see, everyone can hear the accent. It's very nice. Now, you're originally from County Tyrone in the Northern Ireland. You've lived in Manchester, London, New York, Madrid, Oxford, and now Bogota. Well, tell us about yourself. This is extensive. I mean, you're not, I'd expect someone to be 50 years old with all that experience, but you're certainly not.
Yes, I left home at 19 to go to Manchester to study, and so I'm from Northern Ireland, and I still think I have the accents, it's not obvious. But after that, I did my postgrad in Oxford, and then I lived for a couple of years in Madrid. And it was in Madrid that I met my Colombian husband.
There we go.
Many years ago, so that gives you a hint as to why I'm here right now. And together, he and I moved from Madrid to London. We spent about 8 years in London, where I worked at a very big law firm called Clifford Chance. I was working as a corporate lawyer there.
Uh-huh.
And the great thing about living in London is you get to travel extensively as well. Both my work was international arbitration, so I represented clients from Nigeria, Mexico, Argentina, all over the place. So I got to travel quite a lot, both professionally and then also as London is such a hub, personally. But we just decided, we had a great life in London, loved it, loved the travel. But we decided, Juan had been away from Colombia for 10 years. I had been here several times over the years and loved it. And so we thought, let's pack in the corporate jobs, get into entrepreneurship and move to Colombia. And I think Colombia and Latin America is a great place to be right now if you are an entrepreneur. And also that's one of the things I love about Colombia in particular is everyone here is very creative, very entrepreneurial, and it's the right ecosystem, I think, for what we're doing right now.
Fantastic. And now, quickly about the legal, you're a lawyer, your background, big firm, international arbitration, so on. Have you brought that legal experience here to Colombia with you? Are you using that here?
So I'm not practicing as a lawyer or not doing any arbitration work right now because I wanted to really step back from that and look at other things that I'm passionate about and spend the time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I did a lot of when I was at Clifford Chance, and one of the great things about that firm is they allow you to do a lot of is pro bono work.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all sorts of things. I set up an organization that sent legal books to universities in Africa. I represented people in housing disputes, families that were very, very vulnerable and didn't have access to good, wouldn't have had access to good legal representation if we didn't do it pro bono. And so when I came here, I really missed that. And I've recently got in touch with the Pro Bono Foundation here, mm-hmm. which is 22 law firms, the sort of top law firms here, got together. And I think it was about 4 years ago, and they made a commitment that they would start doing more pro bono work and in a more organized, I think they always have, but in a much more organized fashion. And they set up this foundation to work together and sort of structure their work.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I started doing some projects.
So you're not, you haven't pushed it away. That's excellent. But and you've been learning about the legal system here in Colombia. Just quickly for the listeners out there who might be lawyers or might be thinking of coming over to Colombia or might have to do some work here in the future, are there big differences between the legal systems in Europe, North America, if you know, and Colombia?
Yes, I think if you're going, I was a litigation lawyer and an arbitration mm-hmm. lawyer in dispute, so I'll probably talk about that more than corporate law, but
okay.
Also, being an entrepreneur here, I've seen, you know, setting up a business and things like that. It's not as fast as it is in the UK. And also, the impression I have is that the court system is much more complicated. There's much more bureaucracy. They could do a lot to slimline things.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need so many papers, so many notary signatures, and just make it easier, a little bit easier for people to enforce their rights.
Sure.
And I think that's why it's important, the work of the Pro Bono Foundation, because it is quite complicated here for people to enforce their rights and even just to know what their rights are. If they have access to real quality lawyers, even if those lawyers are corporate lawyers who aren't experts in housing law or labor law, the great thing about being a lawyer is you always know where to find the answer and how to find it quickly,
yes.
in a way that a person on the street just wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of lawyers here could really have an impact on people's lives, but just by helping them navigate the system a little bit.
Caroline, I'm already exhausted because, you know, your background. I don't know how we come to the conclusion that, you know, you worked as a lawyer, you've moved across, you're here setting up a lifestyle, and you found time at somewhere to be able to write a book. You've written a book. Now we're gonna introduce it because we need to plug your book a little bit here. And so we've talked pro bono law to being an author. I mean, there are people who do it, but when did you find the time to write your book, Dancing with Statues?
So I honestly don't know when I found the time. What I often tell people is my husband is obsessed with football and watches 3 or 4 matches a day. So I must have found the time when he was watching the football. But also, as a corporate lawyer, I was working sort of 12 and 16 hour days. But the great thing is, I often find the less time you have to do something, the more likely you are to do it. Yes. And so I had this pink notebook that went everywhere with me. And I'd be sitting in a lounge at an airport or on an airplane or on the tube. Or, you know, in a taxi on my way home from work at 11 p.m. and I would just scribble, and then eventually when I find the time I'd go into my study at home and type it up. And the funny thing is I finished Dancing with Statues just as I was finishing up at my law firm last year, mm-hmm. the end of the year. Dancing with Statues was published in February of this year. And I thought, right, I'll get into the next book. And only now, in the past couple of weeks, have I actually started.
Yeah, but you're allowed to have a break. I mean, come on. I mean, like you're saying, it's 12-hour days and writing a novel in 90-minute bursts as your husband is watching football games. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty impressive. And it's a real pleasure to have, you know, a genuine published author here on the show. I mean, we have people, you know, Dancing with Statues, it's out on Amazon, so people can look it up, mm-hmm. so if they're interested. And I've seen reviews all over the internet, because I did my research, and they're all very favourable, and they say it's kind of like sitting down to, you know, to a nice meal. People have actually made that sort of, almost the description.
Yeah,
of it. That must be very nice, you know, is it that people are as comfortable with your novel as a Sunday meal.
Yeah, and what was really quite special was seeing the first reviews come in from people that are completely unknown to me and from parts of the world that I didn't imagine they'd be reading my book, like Oregon or South Africa, or, you know, just having these people knowing that they've sat in their living rooms or, you know, wherever on reading my book and spending time with my characters was really special. And then to know that not only had they put in the time to read it, but they'd enjoyed it. And what also I find quite special is, if you look at the cover of the book, it looks very much like a romance, and there's a very strong romantic element to the book. So I wasn't expecting men to like it, but I've seen quite a lot of reviews from men saying they actually really enjoyed it, and that's been quite special to see that it crosses the genders in a way that I didn't expect.
That's fantastic. When we go into the next section, we'll talk about the actual sort of, you know, the structure of the book and more about the description. When you mentioned that about men liking the book, it made me think from years ago. There was a book, I can't remember, I think it was Nicholas Sparks or something, who wrote The Bridges of Madison County. It wasn't him, was it? It was
no,
someone
he's
else.
A notebook guy.
Yeah, sorry.
But it's the Bridges of Madison. It's a very soon. Yeah.
The Bridges of Madison County. And then there was the movie that came out based on it with Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood. And my father went to see it with my mother because he thought he was going to see Clint Eastwood blowing up bridges. so, you know, there was a marketing ploy there, but you haven't done any, you know, you haven't done any false marketing on that. It is what it is.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. That's really good. Well, we're going to, don't go away, we're going to come back in the second segment. We're going to talk more about the book and then, of course, into Caroline's other project here in Borwell Duck, aside from being a pro bono lawyer as well. So when she has time, she's an incredibly busy person. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We'll be right back.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. The next time you really want to get away from it all, Jet Setter would like to suggest you travel to the most remote island on Earth, Beauvais Island. By remote, we mean remote. This uninhabited volcanic island is currently owned by Norway, through no fault of their own. At present, the only sign of development on Beauvais Island is an automated meteorological station. There are no roads, houses, grocery stores, or spas. Despite the fact that a travel aggregate website like Travelocity might erroneously return flight information for travelers, let us assure you, there are no airlines or cruise lines that pass anywhere near the place. Beauvais Island is 19 square miles in size and 93% covered by a glacier. Located in the South Atlantic Ocean, Beauvais is more than 1,000 miles from Antarctica and 1,600 miles from Cape Town, South Africa. The coast is harsh and foreboding, with steep glacier cliffs falling to black volcanic sand beaches. With no ports or anchorages of any sort, your best means of travel is to land by helicopter. Once there, feel free to study the feeble vegetation consisting of moss and lichens. Other than that, seals, seabirds, and penguins will be your only companions for the duration of your stay. The tricky part about travel to Beauvais Island is that, since it's a nature preserve, you'll likely be denied permission if you request a visit for tourist purposes only, though no one from Norway will likely be there to refuse entry. If you happen to be an Arctic research biologist, geologist, or helicopter pilot, your chances of legal entry are better. So if you really need time alone, stock up the yacht with extra batteries and whale blubber, tie the chopper down good to the landing deck, and strike out for Beauvais Island. Don't forget to send a postcard. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here in Bogota with Caroline Doherty. She's from Northern Ireland, married to a Colombian, living here in Bogota. Caroline is a pro bono lawyer. She's lived everywhere, and most importantly, she's an author. And we've been talking about her book, Dancing with Statues, that you can find on Amazon. I believe it comes out later in the year on something called Smash Reads. That's right. Now tell us a little bit about the inspiration for the book.
So I wanted to write a book about Colombia, Northern Ireland, that didn't focus on the obvious parallels between the two countries.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the beginning, and one of the core themes of it. And the book is about a young Colombian lawyer called Miguel, who is an expert in truth commissions. He studied that. And so he comes. There's always a big debate in Northern Ireland about whether or not we need one. And the book doesn't really get into that. But he comes to Northern Ireland to work on an investigation into a bombing and to help interview the victims. Mm-hmm. And the reason they have him is, one, because he's an expert in truth commissions, but also because he's an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought it would be useful to have an outsider. And so it's about his life in Northern Ireland, in this small town, which is very different. He's from Bogota. It's very different from Bogota.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also lots of cultural parallels. And when he's there, he falls in love with a young woman named Laura, who's the other key protagonist in the book. And Laura's mother has killed herself many years ago, a few days after the bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Miguel, as a expert in truth commissions and a lawyer, has this sort of burning desire for mm-hmm. answers. And Laura has always avoided asking those questions. And so it's about their relationship and about the parallels between Northern Ireland and Colombia, but also then about whether the search for truth, if you can ever really fully understand history, whether you need to just move on from it, and whether, you know, his search for the truth will destroy their relationship that they've built together.
This is really interesting. I mean, I'm going to have to get my hands on it now, because I mean, I know perhaps it's a field that we're not supposed to explore so much, but, you know, Colombia in this present time, it, you know, we've had conversations on the show with other, with political experts and so on. And we all seem to be of the same mind that something will be signed, let's say, with in a peace accord with the FARC guerrillas in Havana and the government that's going on at the moment. It's been going on for a year now. And certainly in my studies, we're learning all about the truth commissions and so on and so forth. You have first-hand experience of the debate about this then, which you then put into text, put into... Do you have any advice for a Colombian situation with regards to that? Having you know, reflected on this for quite some time, obviously, as you wrote the book.
I think as an author, it's great to be able to ask the questions and leave it for the reader to make their own mind up. So I don't have a really strong opinion as to, you know, whether or not truth commissions are a good idea. What I do know is that Northern Ireland had its own conflict, and we're now many years after that. And there are still issues within Northern Ireland, but we have come so far. So it's great that, you know, it's terrible that we have riots about flags and emblems and things like that. But it's also great that that's making the news and not bombings and killings. And so what I would say to Colombia is... You know, you must make peace, you must have a framework, and that's what we did. George Mitchell was wonderful at leading that, and have a framework and find a way to start a new process and a peace process. And a peace process is just that. It's not like one day you sign something and bam, one day you sign something and it's a framework. And it will take years, but every year things will get better. And that's what I've seen in Northern Ireland, and we're still in that process. And it's only now, sort of 10, 15 years later, that people are really getting around to talking about the victims of the Troubles and how they can, you know, really help them, because we've moved away from the urgency of just trying to end, you know, the conflict and the war. And even creating more victims, and now we can really start to the healing process. And so don't expect too much, but, you know, all at once, but make sure that you have a framework and organizations in place that will help the, you know, that the process won't stall further down the line.
I think it's very, very important what you've just said, and indeed I think there's a great weight of expectation here, saying you know, peace is signed and that will be it. And of course the press here as well are referring to it as if it was peace in the whole of Colombia and peace with all groups. But of course, we're only really talking about the Secretariat, who are negotiating there in Havana. And so it's very, I mean, you're in an incredibly privileged place to be watching this now here in Colombia, having lived through it from Northern Ireland. I mean, that's pretty special. You can share these.
Yeah, and what I thought was really interesting was in Havana a few months ago, they had a group of politicians from Northern Ireland over to advise them. And I think they said something similar to them, you know, it is a process. But the great thing is that to see that group of politicians, who some of them, you know, hated each other, some of them perhaps were involved in groups that were trying to kill one another. You know, they were really, really opposed. And now they're there together working on advising another country and how they can find peace in the space of, you know, 15, 20 years. It's amazing.
It's perfect. The exploitation of a perfect need, you know, and a requirement. And so are we going to see Iván Márquez playing chess with Álvaro Uribe anytime soon? I don't think so. But
yeah.
It would be very amusing. Now, that's this is the crux of the book, and it's based around the love story between
I don't want to give the impression that it's very political, because it's not. And like I said, what I wanted to do was write a book that also showed parallels between Colombia and Ireland in another way, just in the culture. And so having this Colombian dropped into small town in Northern Ireland and feeling a bit like a fish out of water, but also finding his way and finding love. And him, and also parts of the book are in Bogota as well, so it's of interest to see how a foreigner has portrayed Bogota.
How much of this is autobiographical, Caroline? Is it, you're not Laura, and Juan is not.
I always get asked that question. And it's a really obvious thing to think, because I'm from Northern Ireland and my husband is Colombian.
But surely you dropped him in County Tyrone to meet your parents.
Yeah, so there's definitely there's one scene where they're watching football and she's just looking at him and not really understanding his reactions. I can say that perhaps that might have come from me.
Okay.
But also in the terms of the characters, I feel I'm quite close to the Miguel character because he's a lawyer. He's he's in a foreign country, so you know, I've experienced that as well, that sort of fish out of water feeling.
Sure.
And he's also Laura, the main character, because she's suffered a lot, and thankfully I haven't suffered anything that she suffered. At the beginning of the book, a very difficult and dark person, and quite bitter, whereas he's like super positive.
Yeah.
And so I identify much more with him than her.
Oh, perfect. Well, we can move off this autobiographical one. I, you know, everyone asks it to every author, so therefore it had to be in there.
And I think you can only write the book that you can write. And so, of course, there are elements that are autobiographical in terms of the setting and things like that, because I'm in the privileged position of knowing these two countries.
Of course, you've travelled, you've been back and forth, and you take this with you. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so we're going to pitch your book one more time, Dancing with Statues. That's by Caroline Doherty de Novo. It's mm-hmm. the whole name
the whole
is on
name
the
is
whole
on
name
there.
Is on the book. You can find it on Amazon, and then later in the year, or earlier next year, right?
Smashwords.
Now, on the website for your book, you write a blog, and it's a very observational. It's a very illustrative, but through text, you know. And I'm going to draw attention to one blog that particularly sat with me. It was about St. Patrick's Day, and you were here in Bogota, and you woke up, you went, I want to go to an Irish pub. Mm-hmm. I want to go. So we're talking a little bit about, you know, that was homesickness. And it happens to everyone. It happens to everyone living overseas, surely. But can you relate a little bit of the blog to us here on radio?
Yeah, and it was quite strange because I don't think I've ever felt so homesick, even though I've lived in various different places. Perhaps because I hadn't lived so far from home, and also I was, you know, I was going through big changes in my life at the time because I had, you know, just given up this job that I'd been working at for 10 years. And come to new country and all that. And so I woke up on St. Patrick's Day morning and I Skyped with my mom and my aunt, who were both sitting there at my kitchen table with the big green shamrocks. And they were both, well, my mom doesn't drink, but my aunt had her Irish coffee. And just there was so much about it that, you know, made me think of home. And I really, really missed home.
Sure.
So I turned around and said to Juan, I want to go to an Irish pub. And I don't think I've ever uttered those words in my life. But I did that.
But you know there's one everywhere in the world.
Yeah, but I knew I would find one.
Right.
And so we went to Usaquén, to the pub in Usaquén.
Uh-huh.
I love that place, really pretty, like lots of literary quotes uh-huh. all around. But it still didn't fill the hole in my heart, no. I don't think anything would have done on that particular day. But I also, I guess, like I said before, I'm quite a positive person, so I sort of wallowed in it a little bit, mm-hmm. but then just thought, you know what, I'm going to order an Irish coffee, and it was one of the best Irish coffees I've ever had. And I thought, oh, well, they've got that Irish whiskey. I'm here in, you know, coffee country.
Yeah.
I should be happy. And it was sunny as well, which there's no way it would have been. It was sunny in Northern Ireland that day. So I thought, actually, come on, count your blessings.
No, it's and you know, this melancholy, it does hit you here. Mm. And I've walked down to an, I think I've been to an English pub here three times in 7 years. But it's, you know, just every now and then. But we idealize. It's idealized in our memory from mm-hmm. you know, from back from a time past, and obviously we've changed, and to go back to that period is different. So, of course, we confront these problems as foreigners living here. But again, it's one of the least problematic things, mm-hmm. you know, and like today, everything is so much easier. You know, you talked with your mom and your aunt, and you saw them with the shamrock. It probably deepened your sense of morose in that moment. But then, you know, you can talk with them, you know, and you can see them, and it's special. But it was really, really well written, and that's a theme. Obviously, you are an author, but it's a theme through your blogs and through everything. You can see that you've taken time to construct, and you've taken time to describe.
Yeah.
I mean, you're leading us through it, but in such a way that we want to continue reading. So I, you know, just
thank you. I'm a real firm believer in the power of storytelling, and one of the things that I enjoyed as a lawyer, I worked on arbitration cases, so mm-hmm. it was based, you know, it's the same with litigation. One side says this is my story, and I should win. The other side says, and it's up to the the lawyers to go out and read the documents, talk to the witnesses, and then prepare the story to put in front of the arbitration the best and tell it in a way that will put your client's case best. And so I'm a real believer in storytelling in everything that you do, even if it's in the corporate world.
And that's actually a very interesting, of course, you know, I would never have thought of that, having, you know, not having the background that you had. So really, really fascinating comments right now, Caroline. So I thank you for that. And we're going to come back in the last segment of the show. We're going to talk about another couple of projects that you have, just in case you thought she wasn't busy enough already. So don't go away. This is Columbia Calling, and I'm Richard McCall. We'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, and we're here with Caroline Doherty de Novoa. She's from Northern Ireland. She's an author. If you've been listening to the show, we've been talking about Caroline's remarkably long list of accomplishments, living all over the world. We've been talking mainly about her role as an author and her novel called Dancing with Statues that you can find on Amazon. It's highly recommended, great reviews, so just look it up and, of course, buy it. I have to admit I haven't read it yet, but it will come. You know, I've got a long list of books to read, but... Now, we've been talking about her blog, we've been talking about Northern Ireland, we've been talking about your novel, but there are two other projects we need to talk about. So, I mean, Caroline doesn't have a moment to breathe. First of all, you are a founding member, a founding sort of director of something called Hotel Trail.
Yeah, so that's right. So, like I mentioned before, I travelled a lot, both personally and professionally in London. Juan and I, together in the 8 years we were in London, travelled to 60 countries. just in our, you know, 25 days a year holiday. And so we really love travel, we really love hotels, but we found that sometimes when we went to hotels, we were just disappointed, or just the offering wasn't what we expected. And so we came up with a methodology for rating and classifying hotels that we thought was much more objective than anything we'd seen before. Uh-huh. And also took into account the preferences of guests, because we might be disappointed, but someone else has different preferences or expectations, so they might be happy. And so we thought if hotels could just tailor their offering to what particular guests and the kind of guests that's coming to them wants, and also sort of offered guests real value for money, then they would knock it out of the park. And there were so many hotels that we stayed at that we just thought, oh, this hotel could be doing so much better with just a few tweaks. So we got together with one's brother, who has been in the hotel trade for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we set up, originally we were going to do it as a sort of a business to help consumers find hotels. But he said, no, actually, I think hotels would really find this methodology useful for them. So it's sort of a platform to help hotels measure the guest experience and then figure out what they need to do, you know, to keep their guests happy. And Latin America and Colombia is a perfect place to launch that.
How's that being picked up here in Colombia with hotels and various different, you know, destinations?
So there's been a great reception in Colombia, but the one place we've perhaps struggled is Bogota, because I think a lot of hotels in Bogota are struggling. There was a huge rise in offer and then not an equivalent rise in demand. I think it was something ridiculous like 80% rise in hotel rooms and 20% rise in demand. So hotels are really struggling, and it's quite competitive here. And I think they're just looking at things on a trying to survive, whereas and on a day-to-day basis. Whereas what we offer is helping hotels think a bit more strategically and think a bit more in the long term. And so we've struggled to get that message across to some hotels here in Bogota. But hotels are really interested in giving guests a good guest experience. So there has been a good reception here.
Oh, that's good. And that's hoteltrail.com.
.com.
Yeah. Okay. So you can look that up and find out where you need to stay next. And now, I mean, because that's how we first were in contact, is you contacted me because of my little place in Montbos. We're too small for that. We live and die by the tiniest TripAdvisor review, but that's, you know, but it hasn't been a good year. 2013, and I know that the offer has increased massively here in Bogota. For us out there in the sticks, not so much, but you know, if people aren't arriving in the big cities, then what are we going to do in the little cities? But here, you know, but if you think about it, we didn't really have big hotels here in Bogota up until, you know, 3 years ago with JW Hilton, not JW Marriott, and then another Marriott, and they're building another Marriott on the 72nd Street as well.
There's definitely a boom here now.
Yeah, but yeah, when do they fill up? I mean, this is, you know, there are conventions, of course, but then are there as many needed to continually fill these hotel rooms up with businessmen and traveling salesmen or whomever? I don't know, but anyways.
I think what Bogota has to do is that they have a really important business market, and you know, that will continue, and it will continue to grow as the country develops.
Sure.
But they also need to focus more on culture and bringing people. You know, Bogota is booming in terms of art and theater, and if some of the hotels could get together, not together with other hotels, but together with you know, theater groups and offer packets like that, packages that they do in London, you know, come a theater package, and really start thinking about their product and offering, and thinking their product is not just for business people.
It's interesting this, because I've long been saying through my blog and whatever that, you know, Bogota is, you know, it lacks Bogotanos. You know, lack of a sort of, as they say, apropiación, you know, belonging to their city. And of course, a lot of that has to do with, you know, so many people coming from elsewhere to live in Bogota for the jobs, for, you know, like in any big city. But, you know, here, a friend of mine, for example, she was born and raised here in Bogota, but her parents are from Norte de Santander. And she said, no, I'm from Santander. But she's not. I mean, in my mind, she's Bogotana. You know, so this feathers us nicely into your next project, which, of course, is EmbraceBogota.com. Yeah. So you can look this up. It's www.EmbraceBogota.com. And this is something you launched recently, and it's only just come to my, you know, my notice, but it's a really informative and, again, well-written website for basically the discerning lady about town.
Yes, exactly.
and you're talking about the nature of Bogota. But tell us about the site.
So it's called EmbraceBogota.com, but it's actually both in English and Spanish. Mm-hmm. But I kept the word embrace rather than trying to use abrazar, because for me, embrace means throwing your arms around something and taking it into your heart, and, you know, sort of accepting it passionately. And that's what I like that concept of with Embrace Bogota. Is when I first came here, like I said, I spent quite a bit of time in New York, I'd lived in London. These are cities that you arrive and everything is laid out on a plate for you. It's really obvious. Bogota makes you work a little bit harder.
Yes, it's very true.
Yeah, so you have to work a little bit harder to fall in love with it. But then when you do, you know, when you scratch beneath the surface, it's all there. Like, you have as much in terms of culture and, you know, new exercise or new fitness and trends and new food trends. All of those things you can have access to here. So I started the website for, sort of, it's aimed at women, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, who really just have a curious mind and an international outlook and want to embrace their city and life in their city.
So there's a danger, though, that, you know, the Colombians are embrace Bogota.
I think
they're fine. And the benefit you've got on this is that they're going to think it's an international page. The Colombians will pick up on this thinking, look at this. And it's nicely, you know, designed and laid out. It's easy to read. It's easy to navigate. I was reading it the other day. I know it's not aimed at me, but I love eating. And I saw that, you know, I'd been talking only months previously that I miss Korean food. Now I know through your blog that there is a Korean restaurant in Bogota. I mean, I would never have known
that.
And
it's so authentic. And because the reason I love Korean food, if you go on the website, you'll see, is I lived with a Korean lady for a year who made me homemade Korean food. And I have found the authentic Korean in Bogota, so I'm very happy about that.
Who would have thought here in Bogota? But you've written everything. I mean, you've written up a yoga retreat. You've written up I haven't written it up. But what are the plans for the future? Are you going to get other writers in on there? Or
yes, I am, and I actually there's one other writer I'm working with who's actually a real journalist and has spent many years working in journalism, and so it'd be sort of great to have her on board and help me out with, because we also want to do some more serious articles as well. And so the idea is it says embrace fashion, embrace fitness, and embrace fun. Those are the three sort of umbrellas, but under that you can have so many things. And so, you know, we want to look at restaurants and fitness trends and things like that, but we also want to look at women's rights within the office, or maternity rights, or recently, for example, this week I wrote about attitudes to rape. And because there was in Bogota, one of the main business owners of one of the biggest restaurants here made sort of a very inappropriate remark about a girl who's accused a man of rape, and about how, well, she had been wearing a mini skirt and had been drinking. I'm quite glad he said that publicly, because it's a real misunderstanding that people have that rape is... there's certain crimes that are extenuating circumstances, and there are certain crimes that you can justify 100%. For example, murder in self-defense is a completely justifiable act. But with rape, it either is or it isn't, and people need to investigate and find out in this particular case what actually happened.
Yeah.
But there are no extenuating circumstances. There are no, like, well, should we know what she was wearing? And so we'll also address those kinds of issues as well.
But yeah, now this was we're not going to name anyone who's been here in Bogota or in Colombia will know exactly about this story, but it you know, it sort of brings up or rears the head of machismo a little bit, and an unfortunate sort of, we're kind of behind here in Colombia still with an attitude. I'm not saying everyone, but there's still an attitude to women being, let's say, could be promiscuous or whatever. We hope that this, you know, what the problem that happened is that it became a trial and case closed by social media. You know, it went crazy. His terms were unacceptable. The restaurant owner said, "We are unacceptable," but now it's open for debate. Now, this is, like you say, the positive nature. So, in your blog, you're going to address things like this.
Things like that. And one of the I used it as an opportunity as well, to just help share information. So, at the end of the blog post, I refer to Avise, which is an NGO that works here that helps women who have suffered sexual violence, both to help them with, you know, legal representation and also medical and psychological. And I think it's really important whenever something like this happens. Embrace Bogota is very positive, and I'm also, like, I've always been a very positive person, and say, how can we turn this around?
Yeah.
Not turn it around, but how can we use the fact that there's a light shining on this today? Because today's news is, you know, tomorrow's newspaper, or tomorrow's
chip wrapping.
So whilst we have a light on this, to help share some information that might actually help someone.
Yeah, this is true. Now, so you've got this webpage, I can see it being a great success, and if you've got a couple of you working on it, I mean, how often are you hoping to update it? I mean, will we see new content all the time?
Yeah, so what we plan to do, if you sign up to the website, then every Thursday you will get a very nice email, newsletter style, with between 4 and 6 new articles, and then they will also then go up onto the website. But if you sign up, you'll sort of get the exclusive content straight away in your inbox on a Thursday.
Will there be like codes for discounts and things like that?
That's what eventually I want to do that as well, so that if you're a member of the site and if there's a business that fits within the Embrace philosophy, we can collaborate and work together to help get discounts for the ladies of Bogota.
I think I'm going to sign up, but under a pseudonym, just so I can go and get spa treatment for free. Actually, no. I'll be gifting my wife, a spa treatment and whatever, or nice meals out. But I think it's really good, and I think there's been a gap in the market for this kind of website in Bogota with this kind of focus as well. I think that's very important, and I wish you all the best with this. And
thank you.
So listen, we've been talking to Caroline Doherty De Novoa, that's the whole name, married name, and she's an author, she's a lawyer, she works pro bono here in Bogota. Her book, Dancing with Statues, can be found on Amazon. Her blog on the same page with her Dancing with Statues her blog is very, very well written and very, it makes for a nice read. Also, she runs hoteltrail.com, as well as what we've just been talking about, embracebogota.com. When you have time off, do you actually take time off, or
my mind is constantly going? But it's a real pleasure, because all of this is fun, and this is one of the reasons I stepped back from the law. Is I loved what I was doing as a lawyer. I'd done it for 10 years, and I had all these things going on in my mind that I just wanted to create a space for myself to do that. And I'm so glad that I came to Colombia to do that rather than stay in the UK, because when you come to Colombia, it is quite creative, very entrepreneurial, and just opening that space to explore new projects has been magical.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Caroline. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And this is a message to all you foreigners who have come out to Colombia and say there's nothing here to do. There's everything to do. You just need a little bit of an imagination and a will, and then it can be done. So we'd like to say thank you to Caroline. I've been Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling, and I hope you've enjoyed the show.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.